Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Got a great doubleheader today. Dr. David Bernstein, he's a geriatrician. He is a multiple book author, and he's an aging and longevity expert. He'll be joining me along with Karen Simmons, a gemologist. She's the founder of Autism Today, connecting parents, professionals, and educators, and autistic people with tools that support them. Then the Sports Doctor's in, some Bob Guy to Wisdom, some emails. First, I want to welcome Dr. David Bernstein to the Sports Doctor. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Great. Dr. Dave, give us some background on yourself and this real specialty of yours, the world of geriology.
Well, thank you for asking. I grew up in New York. I was a sports fanatic myself and an athlete through high school, and I wanted to go to medical school, and I was motivated to do that by seeing the care or lack thereof given to my grandparents. My mom really fretted about that, and before I went off to college, I saw a National Geographic magazine where the cover was a centenarian, so I learned that word. It means people who live to be 100. And I said, that's what I want to do. So set myself off to college and then medical school. And when I finished internship and residency, I became a geriatrician in Clearwater, Florida.
I thought I caught some of a New York accent like me. Where are you from in New York, Dr. Dave?
I grew up on the North Shore of Long Island. And you sound more like a guy.
I'm Massapequa.
Massapequa,
Long Island. So I tell you, that's it. That's a fun connection, the magic of Long Island. You know, again, we specialize so much on the sports doctor, on the holistic side, the importance of what I call the mental game, the whole mental side, and all of these ingredients, the big attention to nutrition, as well as the physical side of things, trying to prevent problems as we age. Where we run into all sorts of overuse problems. So what we did is we ran out and invented pickleball, you know, so we could have 80-year-olds running around the court aggravating their ankles. So the come a long way in the attention of people living longer in the whole world of longevity, wouldn't you say?
We really have, and we have so much more to go. I was listening to a program a week or so ago where the host of the show, a world famous longevity researcher, said a person being born today can anticipate living to 150. So there's a lot of science that's being evaluated and developed for the future, but for those of us who grew up years ago on Long Island and are practicing and doing our thing, I looked at what the literature said and felt I needed to share what I knew about what we can do now to prepare ourselves for the future and how to live.
Well, we're still in the middle, Dr. Dave, of a nightmare. We're in an obesity nightmare. A childhood obesity nightmare, diabetes, and sometimes I really we roll our eyes because there's so much new information, the science, like you're talking about, so much from the mental side. The importance of mental health has been so dramatically paid attention to, yet we see, boy, we're treading water at best. I guess it's a great time to be talking about the Power of Five, which is the name of one of your books, isn't it? To paying attention to what counts?
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right about everything you just said. And there's And there's all this research and all this knowledge, and it's not being applied. I think that's what you said. And one of the key ingredients, or a word that describes what is part of what I talk about, is the word intention. Whatever we can all read about exercise and eating and sleep and stress and all and socialization, but we have to figure out how to push the button to get us to do it intentionally and incorporate it into our being, because that's what it's really all about, right?
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. And then, of course, we pay as much attention to, again, physically trying to stay out of trouble as we get older with our knees and our back and our feet and our ankles. And many times we're talking about those challenges at the same time. People trying to stick with their program to lose weight or trying to stick with their exercise program. So I'm sure a long time ago you became a good psychologist, right, Dr. Dave?
Yeah, probably when I was living at home on Long Island, but I carried it through all those years in practice. And that was the thing that I loved about my job as a geriatrician, because I was able to sit down with young people, but a lot of older adults, and inquire from them what worked, what didn't work. They had enough time on their hands to be able to explain to me what they were doing. And I was able to sit back and hear it was right in front of me. You know, I was party to what worked and what didn't work. And I found out some of the things that I haven't told you about before, but I came up with an acronym called GRACE, G-R-A-C-E. That's what I learned from my older patients about how to live life and be healthy. And it was sort of a retrospective look, but it stands for goals, roots, attitude, companionship, and environment. So these people who had goals or a purpose in life, people who knew what their DNA was or their roots were, what their family origin was, people who had a positive attitude and had gratitude and kindness, people who had companionship, and people who interacted well with their environment. Those were the happy, healthiest, longest living patients and the ones with the most resilience. And by the way, it's not only about how long you live, but you want to have a long health span. It's not necessarily the lifespan, because people can live till they're...
Great word. Well, I like that word. Health span.
My mother-in-law is in the hospital.
Terrific word. I'm going to ask you more about that. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over radio shows, you can go back years and see what was on, what was the topic, who was it. International, national, local guests. If you go over newspaper articles and magazines, a lot of great stuff, a lot of great articles. All excited about MVP Parent Magazine, some of the things you write about in Lower Extremity Review. And for years, it's my hottest article. It's Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. We have thousands of followers. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and LinkedIn, or we'll see how well that works out. At Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we're talking living longer, living well. Great point. Where we're talking about people, you know, hey, 80 is the new 60, I think, is a great way to go in that regard. What's the best site, Dr. Dave, for people to find out about you and your books?
I can be reached at Power of Five, and that's the number five, Power of Numeral Five, life.com.
Power5.com. And, you know, you talk about these areas, important points, the importance of sleep, sweat, keep moving, importance of sex, sweets, and stress. That's quite a combination.
It's my Power of Five S combination. They all begin with the letter S. So there's almost no excuse why people can't remember them. Avoid sweets. Avoid stress, and get more sleep, sweat, and sex. And who wouldn't want to do all five?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the that's one of the really ideas. And all these things fit in many times when we're talking about the families of individuals who are looking to live healthier. A lot of their kids are athletes. That whole family dynamic with dealing with chronic health problems that are can be really, really prevented. And the name of the game, really, I guess, right, Dr. Dave, you know, that is awareness on the one side and education along with it.
Exactly. And the third word is intention and incorporating that into your daily routine. And it doesn't take much. It's just little tiny tweaks in your system. By the way, it doesn't mean going to a sporting event and getting the biggest thing of nachos with the most amount of cheese and pulled pork on it. But it does mean incorporating healthy things into your diet. It doesn't require a lot of exercise. It could be as little as 30 minutes, 5 days a week. And that's sort of the lower end of that. But anything you can do at any time, and it's never too late, and it's never too early. And you know, when you talked about the parents and incorporating this in the lives of their kids and their kids' athletes, the parents need to recognize and need to take care of themselves, too, and not just throw themselves at the will of children who are in travel baseball and travel soccer, and then the parents don't take care of themselves. Parents need to take care of themselves, too.
Well, of course, the pandemic has quadrupled times 100 the pressures on all of us medically, psychologically. It's amazing, Dr. Dave. Wherever a guest I have on, wherever they are in the world, whatever their vocation or profession, they talk about mental health, what a challenge it's been with the effects of the pandemic, affecting, of course, older individuals. Obesity was one of the big risk factors. You must have found yourself in the middle of some of that.
I did. And it was frustrating for me personally. You know, when I got into the midst of COVID, I was able to keep myself on track with my eating and my exercise. You know, I didn't go out. We didn't go to restaurants. We didn't socialize. So there was a lot of time to do that. But you mentioned one thing that sometimes gets overlooked. And I incorporated this in my presentations and in my writing, and it existed even before the pandemic, and it has to do with the sex part of my book, because sex is about socialization, it's about intimacy, it's about spirituality. And I talk about intimacy because the opposite of intimacy is loneliness. We now recognize loneliness as a health hazard. And I couldn't help but think about some of the things that are going on in the world, even in the last month, where there were significant victims of loneliness and the mental health problems we have in our society that really can't get solved just by a visit to a clinic just one day, that we need to look society-wise.
You know, and the funny part, one of the interesting ironies is your profession. We really need to get very, very involved in the pediatric world, early education, in order for these kids growing up to understand good habits early. You know, intention's a great word. You know, whether you're the best athlete in the world or their grandmother or a teammate or a coach, this whole importance of, you know, trying to set some things up where you could follow through. We all know how much easier said than done it is. That's not news to everybody. And this is why I believe the awareness and education is so important. Because every expert that I talk to in the school age world, et cetera, is very, very concerned, because social media has really, really caused so many, with all the great parts of it. I love getting memories on social media with some of my fast radio guests, you know. It's so crazy, you know, with these. So setting habits early and educating the parents and or the grandparents, you know, geriology, one of the biggest topics in sports geriatrics is fall prevention. Really prevent falls. It's such a big, big problem in both our worlds.
It's so true. And even that doesn't take much. But we lose, as we age, starting at age 40 and maybe before, we lose 1% of muscle mass every year. So if we're not exercising, we're not doing some small element of strength training, which could just be doing 10 squats or 20 squats every day just to keep your biggest strongest, most important muscles involved. We become a sedentary society where we sit at our desk for 8 hours, 8 hours a day. Well, we lose our gluteus maximus, gluteus minimus, and we lose our butts. And that's such a strong and important muscle in our body. Yes, it puts us at risk for falls.
Yeah, I'm a big, big advocate. I've written about it for decades, give or take a few weeks. The recommendation of walking, including walking, as a family, it is one of the safest activities we have. It's also one of the most efficient activities we have. And we try to at least recommend that we can fit that in somewhere. Walking around the block, walking in a mall, walking in all sorts of different opportunities, no matter how old you are, if you could do it safely, and to pay attention to strengthening the whole body, the whole system physically, has always been a big challenge in the world of living well and longevity, hasn't it, Dr. Dave?
Sure, it absolutely has, and I've had athletes into their 80s who are 90s who are playing softball. But I want to get to your point about walking. You know, and you're a podiatrist, so you know about it from the very bottom of the foot. But walking is a controlled balancing exercise because you have to balance on one foot and then go to the other and then back again. And one of the a research study published this year was about how to evaluate people or screen them for dementia, and having poor balance was an indication of cognitive decline. So if people don't want to have their cognitive decline or don't want to fail a cognitive decline test, they should be working on balance.
Yes, we tell people if you're 100 years old, balance on one foot, hold on to a chair or to the wall. It's interesting. It's one of the two essential exercises that I recommend in my book for parents, for sports parents, hashtag sports parents, which is for these kids, whatever their sports is, to work balance. And again, it's an amazing irony that we pay huge attention to the same things, work on balance, stability, in order to be able to prevent falls and problems later on in life. Is ironically the same kinds of exercises many times we'll do with a hotshot 12-year-old tennis player or a figure skater. And in that regard, you know, the real interesting relationship, again, between if we want to pay attention to what you do successfully, then we really got to try to do something as soon as possible with these young kids, with the schools. It wasn't all that many years ago where we were in an argument to make sure PE was included in schools. That'll be a whole other discussion. Give me quickly again, Dr. Dave, the site for an information to you in the book or
okay.
your other books.
My website is powerofthenumber5life.com. And all my books are available on Amazon, and you can go into a bookstore and find them too. They're available on my website. I love talking about my subject. It's so invigorating for me to do that. I've even converted my Power of Five book into an online course that families and corporations can use to build a wellness structure that it's so important. And, you know, what you talk about is having a strong base both for balance, but also for your business and for your physical health. And another way to do that also is keeping a journal or a diary. And you incorporate all this stuff and you build on it year after year or month after month to either become a better athlete or more healthy or work on your longevity. Because there are great things ahead, but we need to start doing it early enough in life to be able to incorporate them when those discoveries become available.
Yeah, plus there's so many new advances in medicine and new advances in holistic approaches. We pay a lot of attention to the whole holistic side of things on the sports doctor as much as we can. So Dr. David Bernstein, again, thank you so much for joining me.
Bob,
hold on. Everybody will be right back. It's the sports doctor. Hold on, Dave.
everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Karen Simmons. She's the founder of Autism Today, connecting parents, professionals, and educators, and autistic people with tools that support them. She also shares a little sparkle in all of their lives because she's a gemologist. Karen, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much. I love being here.
I have featured challenges of autism for decades, Karen, various experts and authors on one of the big important sides that I know you pay attention to, which is the value of exercise and mixing in with that whole world. But give us some background on yourself and autism today.
Okay, well, I started Autism Today in 1998 after I had a near-death experience in 1994, and I wrote books starting with Little Rain Man, Autism Through the Eyes of a Child, and then I started writing other books, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Children with Special Needs, and started hosting conferences across North America, a total of over 25 years, 72 conferences, bringing in top experts from all over in all types of biomedical and behavioral interventions. I also have a background in gemology, as I told you, bringing out the sparkle and the joy and the inner beauty of all children with autism, focusing on the gifts, strengths, and talents that people with autism have. So
that's quite a great idea, the combining of, gemology and thinking about how that would apply to the kinds of endless challenges in the world of autism and their families and their teammates.
Yes.
And all of these challenges. It's got to bring a smile to the face of whoever it is when you mention you want to add a little sparkle and pay attention to some of these tools. Autism is so much more common. How common is it in generality, Karen, in our society?
One in 44, but a lot of girls are being missed because the diagnosis is not picked up in girls as much as it should be, because the girls mask a lot more and the diagnosis is harder to pick up in girls. So I'm looking at rewriting my very first book at this point, just because of that just to make it easier for more people to recognize and identify it in girls, and also to pick up on some of the issues like environmental issues and nutritional issues, things like that, because they're finding out a lot more things to do with that. So I think it's going to be important to have something that's easy for people to understand, because it's very complex. You know, it's a social situation, it's sensory issues, it's behavioral issues, communication disorder, things like that.
And the big overuse of prescription medicines, this has been a big problem. I've talked about it for decades, which is medicines are great when indicated. Absolutely. There's a very positive side to medications when indicated. But we've seen in children just much too much that regard. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we need to focus on healthy ways of getting our kids helped. We need to focus on nutrition, the proper nutrition, biomedical interventions, the right vitamins, the right foods that they eat. You know, try to avoid certain foods that are, have the wrong chemicals in them. Focus on, like, if it's going to help to have, gluten-free, casein-free, depending on the child. There's a lot of studies that show that these types of things will, help with, because they have a lot of gut issues. So there's a lot of people that are finding that gluten-free, casein-free, soy-free foods and nutrition will help their child. So, of course, it depends on the child, right, or the adult, that what's going to irritate their gut, the gut and brain are very connected. There's just so much science out there. There's so much information out there that's what we want to do.
Do you find, Karen, that on the medical side, as well as on the educational, the school side, that they're both making a lot of progress? I think still a long way to go in order to incorporate so many of these positive things to be able to be paid attention to by the doctors as well as by the school systems, for example.
There's a lot to learn. There's a lot they have learned. And that's why we are introducing a channel so people can learn from each other, because there's a lot of money that pours out of the parents' pockets in order to learn. So we have to be able to have a platform where people can learn from each other, take the good, and have a way that they can learn at an even platform where it's fair and easy for other parents to learn from each other. But of course, it has to be an even playing field. Parents go out and they buy a service dog for a lot of money, and maybe it's going to work and maybe it's not going to work. Or they're going to spend a lot of money on vitamins or nutrients that may or may not work for their child. So they need to learn what's going to work in Miami, may not work in New York, or may not work in Chicago, because the climate may be different. The environment may be different. So there's just a lot of variables.
Yes. I love the therapy pet side of the world. I think whether you're talking to the best team in the country or you're talking with families or the children, almost always, pets make such a tremendous positive difference. It's amazing. I think we're still learning all the time sometimes how effective, some of that is. What's, if any, been the experience, Karen, with autistic young children and the world of school athletics, for example?
Well, athletics are good for everybody, and it's really good to get people in their bodies and to use them as much as possible. I know there's a lot of people.
What about the competition side, though? Where you have the pressures that are involved. Let's say, even in school sports, I believe physical
social
activity. We want them to pay huge attention to physical activity, which can be very, very positive. Whether or not they're somebody who's autistic, their 14-year-old is on the basketball team or the track team. Has there been any feedback on that kind of stuff?
Well, it's going to. Some people are really good at certain types of sports. Like people with autism are just like other people. Some people are going to gravitate towards certain types of sports more. than other types. Social situations can, you know, influence those types of decisions as well, you know, because they have a tendency to be more or less social in certain situations. So if it's a really, really highly social, you know, social activity, it may be harder for them to, you know, to play in a game. If it's one that they're less social, like maybe they're swimming and they're not going to be socially engaged as much, it might be easier for them to engage. But it just depends on the child and how engaged or how they want to engage or no, they don't want to engage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we want a positive experience. We want a positive experience
yes.
as much as possible, no matter what. And the so on the one hand, we say, because my son or daughter is autistic doesn't mean they can't go out for any sport. If it's something that they enjoy and that they can participate in, it's not like it's a
I have
something
my son
you
in
should
football.
Stay away from.
I had my son in football, and it was really hard. He committed. He really wanted to go into football, and he committed to go. And I held him to that, the commitment, so that he would go through all the way through, just like any one of my other kids. Just because he had autism, that did not mean that he wasn't going to keep his commitment. So he had to put the uniform on. And it,
well, I think that's important. I think this is why I wanted to have you on, which is also to understand the tremendous amount of normalcy that's involved in so much of this. And the fact of the necessity of, I think, is that, do you have the official Autism 101 manual?
Oh, yes, we do.
Right?
We have 53 experts in it. 53, if you can imagine getting 53 different top experts to agree to be in one book.
You need the 54th one. Yeah, you need the 54th one, which is the sports doc. Let's talk about whether we're in the right shoe. What's the best website, Karen, people could find out about Autism Today and everything you're doing?
AutismToday.com.
And now when did you start this, 1998?
I started in 1998. Now we have gone to a nonprofit organization in the U.S. and Canada, and we are just organizing all the content from the for-profit into the nonprofit. So it's just like happening as we speak.
Are you, you or members of your family? Have autism?
Yes, I have one son with autism and one son with nonverbal learning disorder and five other kids.
Wow.
So I have seven children. I've been, I'm also
the best medicine. The best medicine for the two challenged is the five other ones. Let me give you this lesson on, you know, get together with all those siblings. Wow, that's got to be, it sure hasn't held you back.
Now, heck no. Are you kidding? Nothing's going to hold me back. No, I've got a lot of work to do. I really, really do. So, I mean, I've been very busy since the time I was born. You know, I travel. My mother worked for Pan Am. My father was an aeronautical engineer, and I used to travel all over the globe going and looking for gemstones. That was my love, my passion was gemology. So I look for the gems in my kids. And what I do is I would go to conferences and I would take sapphires and pass them out to the audiences. And I would take a little flashlight.
We're
going
to talk more about that. I want to ask you some more questions. We're going to be right back. We're talking with Karen Simmons, founder Autism Today. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Everybody, we're back live from Windy City, Chicago, the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Karen Simmons and her Autism Today organization since 1998. Quite a tradition. But she's also a gemologist. And right before we finished that, we talked a little bit about how you could shine these great different kinds of attitudes with gemology, with some of these different individuals with their challenges, finding out what sparkles with them, et cetera. Does gemology, Karen, have anything to do with the world of crystals?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Gems are crystals. There's all types of different crystals. Sapphires, like I was telling you, sapphires, you pass the sapphires out into the audience with a little flashlight, and sapphires have these things called inclusions, which are kind of like people have things that are different about them too. So if you shine the light on the sapphire, it has a little star that comes out on top of it. If you don't shine the light on it, the star doesn't come out. So I'd say to the parents, if you shine the light on the sapphire, you will see the star. But if you don't, you know, focus on the beauty and the gifts and the talents that the person has inside, you won't see the star. And so they love that, right? And
that's a great story. You know, what's interesting also is in the world of gems and whatever, where we've seen people that they have gems, crystals for all sorts of health and psychological, spiritual sides of things.
Yep.
It's a serious part of some of the greatest of athletes in instances using whether we want to say it's placebo, whether it's a, but now there's a lot of attention, I think, to the including, it's not such voodoo. Now there's soothing, relax, all sorts of medical benefits, quote unquote. True?
Yes. Well, they used to grind up rubies and put it in their drinks. I used to go to the mines when I was, when I was traveling around. My mom, I told you, worked for Pan Am, and I used to travel for either nothing or 10%. And I travel all over, went to Thailand, Sri Lanka, Africa, all over when I was like 18, 15 years old. And I went in the mines, and I could feel the energy in those mines. People, you know, I'd sit in the rivers. I went into the Shantabudi mines in Thailand, and they, I mean, they joke, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but they'd say, hey, here's Round Eye with big boobs. But anyway, that's... it was kind of funny because I went there to get the rubies, and like it was just so much fun to see the world that way. And you could pick up that energy of the beauty of these beautiful gems, which are like the world is made of these beautiful stones. You can go anywhere in the world, and you can see the negativity, you could see the violence, but you can also see the beautiful gems. Like in Russia, there's Alexandrite diamonds. In Sri Lanka, there's beautiful sapphires and rubies. You also see the turmoil, but if you look for what the beauty and the wonder and the magic is in the world, you can find it. And people just focus on that. The beauty can find you too.
And I talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor for years. I call it the mental game. You know, I'm a sports podiatrist. We talk about the physical side of things all the time in so many ways. But we also feature big time the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coach, whether you're their grandparents. We find this whole side of the attitude side. My first, because we talk so much about intention in the world of longevity and aging gracefully, and the incredible important part of reducing stress. And being able to
pay attention to rest and recovery as part of even the highest level of athletics and teammates, et cetera, where we're dealing with the kinds of problems, again, the whole mental side. And if right. we see that the side of somebody having a pendant, somebody's got all sorts of different jewelry with all sorts of different types of gems, and where an athlete would say to me, I don't care what you say, I'm telling you, it helps me heal. And
right.
30% of medicine is placebo in so many different ways. And like you said, with all the negativity, I can't tell you, Karen, we have guests on, international guests, national guests, local guests. And over the past couple of years with the pandemic and that nightmare, no matter where they were from, no matter what their vocation or profession was, they would talk about mental health, mental health, mental health. What a tremendous yeah. challenge, again, this was, you know, let alone dealing with the whole other side of disabilities. And that whole yes. scenario,
yes.
I've had experts on, they've talked about bullying. And
yes.
the autistic child was also like with the obese child or the disabled child. There were these kinds of concerns. Do you see those kinds of concerns in school with these kids, Karen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite people in the world who just recently passed away, Dr. Jerry Jampolsky. I don't know if you knew him.
Oh, but he worked yes. in the center. Yeah.
He wrote a
program from 30 years ago. Yes.
Oh my God, he was my favorite guy. And anyway, he worked in the Center for Attitudinal Healing, traumatic situations, prisoners, and children's death and dying. And he talks about the love is the most important healing force in the world, and the biggest thing we have to heal on the planet is the biggest virus is fear. And that, you know, of course, you know the principles he talks about, many like health is inner peace, and healing is letting go of fear. But that's what we need to focus on. The bullying is definitely there a lot of times, and we do have to work on so much on that with our kids. Our kids are prime targets, and I talk about that a lot.
How do these kids feel, again, in school or in other activities? Do they feel they have to identify the fact that I'm autistic? Is it a secret? How is that help
they know.
Handled?
They know they have autism. They know at their core who they are. And this whole thing about labeling is controversial. But I mean,
heavy word. Labeling's a heavy mm-hmm. word. Yeah. Labeling
yeah.
is a big time heavy word.
It is. And it doesn't need a label. What they need to understand is that their situations and their challenges and how to overcome them, like communication, the social skills, the sensory issues, and how to address what's going on with their behaviors and how to navigate those areas of challenges. And the world needs to understand how to respect them and how to understand them and love them, you know, and how to accept them. And, you know, that's what we want to do, is to raise the level of acceptance and understanding.
Karen, give me quickly, I knew the time would fly. Karen, give me quickly the site people could find out about autism today and your work.
Sure. AutismToday.com. They can email me directly. I'm happy to answer anybody at Karen@AutismToday.com. I love, love, love talking to people. I love helping people. I really do. And I know that sounds hokey and everybody thinks, anyway, but I really do want to help.
Touch more hokiness. We could use it. Karen Simmons, Autism Today. Karen, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website globalschoolwear.com.
globalschoolware.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, live from Chicago, Sports Doctor. We're back with the Sports Doctor's In segment. We preview some upcoming guests, answer a few emails, pay attention to one of the aspects of hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Great couple of shows coming up. Jeanette Andrews is a magician illusionist who I've known since she was, 5, 6, 7 years old. Watching television, she saw Siegfried and Roy, and this is what she's done. And we've had magicians on in the past. She's one of them talking about what it takes to mentally and physically train for this. One of our favorite sports writers, authors, Rick Kellender returns, one of the leading sports writers for the Sun-Times. He's an author of multiple books. He was part of the famous Sports Writers TV show in Chicago. He wrote for Sports Illustrated for years. And now he's got a children's book. I know Rick for a long, long time. I didn't know he was a poet. Sweet Dreams combines the beautiful artistry of paintings and works of some of the terrific artists with some fantastic poetry. Really, really special. Looking forward to that. Following week, we're going to talk about child coaching, all aspects of it, with Renee Thornborough, and a terrific topic, again, on awareness and education for young kids and how important that can be. Then Vicki Matthews, she's a naturopathic doctor. She's a relationship coach, family relationship coach. And we're going to grab her to all give us some highlights on everybody getting along over the holidays and families and whatever, and that craziness with Vicki. Bob Guida always paid big attention with his wisdom to what he called strengthening the opposites. Work in the breaks. Think of a pitcher throwing again and again and again with his shoulder. And Bob would pay such big attention to strengthening everything that stabilized, controlled, and slowed down the shoulder, all the muscles in the upper back and the traps and some of these other different areas. Again, think of a figure skater who's doing double and triple jumps again and again and again and again and all those landings, or a volleyball player, running, jumping athletes. And paying big, big attention to what he would call the stabilizers, what he liked working instability and balance so much. The muscles, the parts, the stabilizers that slow you down. Again, that control the whipping of that tennis racket. All the muscles that control and stabilize that have so much to do with what we see when we talk about overuse and repetitive muscle injuries, using the same muscles the same way. Work those opposites, strengthen the breaks. Great wisdom from late, great Bob Guida. Some emails,
Nicole says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. It seems she's inherited the same bunion deformity that my mother had and that I have. My mom had surgery. I don't. What about custom boots? Absolutely, Nicole. You want to make sure that the figure skating boots are accommodative. Custom means that they are optimally fit, where they can make a wider ball of the foot. They can punch out the area in that so-called bunion, which is a gradual dislocation, development of that bump on the inside of the big toe. You really, really want to pay big attention if you haven't already. When I see kids your daughter's age or anywhere near that inherited situation, we talk big-time orthotics to try to control the kinds of motions that contribute to that breakdown. Custom boots are great, but custom orthotics are greater, more specific. Check that out. Jim said, I remember your pickleball article, that it's physical. I thought you might want to highlight a few things. Jim, thanks for that. A year and a half ago, I wrote an article when pickleball exploded around the country. Now it's a phenomenon. And at my own health and fitness club, and they would cut a basketball court in half. They put up a net and pickleball, and I started noticing how many seniors, super seniors, people in their late 70s, looking to really, really get involved in pickleball, and they loved it. And what we started seeing was way out of whack, too many people. My ankles hurt, my back hurts, my knees hurt. So I wrote the article to explain the fact that you want to pay attention to your own fitness levels before you start playing pickleball, or if you're going to be aggressive playing pickleball. It's not as aggressive as the running around on a tennis court or a racquetball court. Same motions, though. Stopping and starting, changing direction, accelerating one way or the other, swinging a racket. So we tell people you don't have to go into a training course, but pay attention to whether you've had a history of problems with your knees or feet or ankles or hips or low back, arthritis, et cetera. And to also pay attention to what are the kind of strengthening exercises I can do, balancing, strengthening your feet and ankles, doing some leg work. I tell people if you're at the gym or you're playing pickleball, I hope you're also paying attention a couple times a week into some of the strength training. And that's what we wanted to get across, that pickleball is physical and we love it, but we want to pay attention to that fact, not, hey, I'm joining a pickleball league and, you know, we've seen too many injuries with overuse in that regard. Terry says, my wife, she's 40-year-old, she's a jogger. She's been diagnosed with Morton's neuroma. Is that always a surgical problem? Terry, no, it isn't. We've had great success over the decades with putting prescription orthotics in shoes to redistribute weight. Neuroma is a thickened, inflamed nerve between the third and fourth toe. Proper support, cortisone injections, a lot of times can be very, very successful. So check out conservative options. Surgery is no longer our first choice for Morton's neuroma. If that was the first opinion, get another one. Everybody, wow, we're out of time. See you next week. Happy holidays. Stay healthy. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.